This is After the Gridiron, a podcast featuring interviews with retired football players. If you're a fan of After the Gridiron, make sure you subscribe to the show to ensure that you won't miss an episode. Today's episode is sponsored by Symphonies. Symphonies is an online store that provides custom clothing and accessories. They have a number of quality products available at affordable prices. They offer custom, unique, funny, and inspirational products that you won't find anywhere else. So go to www.symphonies.ca to shop for your next purchase. And as a special offer for our listeners, enter promo code GRIDIRON to get 15% off your purchase. So there's no excuse not to check it out. Again, that's www.symphonies.ca. Symphonies, great products, great prices. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of After the Gridiron. I am your host, Lyle Green, and today we have another great guest lined up for you. Today we have one of the greatest athletes of our generation, Charlie Ward. So Charlie played 11 seasons in the NBA. He played with the New York Knicks, San Antonio Spurs, and Houston Rockets. He came from Florida State University, where he, in basketball, was a first-round pick for the Knicks, the 26th pick in the draft. But football-wise, he obviously had a great career at Florida State there. He was the Heisman Trophy winner in 1993. He led the team to their first ever national title. So he led Florida State to their first national title under Coach Bobby Bowden. And so had a great career at Florida State as a football player. As a basketball player, he led the team to a Southeast Regional, the Southeast Regional in the tournament in 93, and in 92 led them to the Sweet 16. So obviously, like I said, it was an amazing athlete. And now he's coaching basketball there in Florida, and he's also has Charlie's Talk. And he also has Chalk Talk with Charlie on Fox 49's Live in Tallahassee. And you can see that live every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And there's lots more he's doing that we'll get into as we go along. So, Charlie, thank you for coming on and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Lyle. I appreciate it very much.
All right. I appreciate your time. So I usually start off, by asking my guests to say something about themselves that most people don't know about them. So what would that be for you? What's something about you that most people don't know about you?
I guess that I've been married for 24 years to a lovely wife, Tanja. And we have three beautiful kids, Caleb, Hope, and Joshua.
Oh, nice.
And now we have three adopted dogs.
Oh, really? Okay. What kind of dogs do you have?
We have a Shih Tzu, who's 11.
Yeah.
We just adopted another dog, which is a service dog for our son, Mufasa, and he's one and a half years old. And our oldest son has adopted a dog, Whitney, and I think she is maybe one and a half as well, around the same age. So
we're okay. Oh, cool. So
full family
now. Yeah, full house.
Yes.
So did something prompt you to go to get dogs? Is it your kids were bragging you to get a dog, or what was the reason to do that?
Well, Lily is 11, so she's been home with us for 11 years. So
okay.
Had her for a while. She's the smallest out of the group, but the feistiest. And the other two. Our son is that's his emotional support dog for college, and then our Mufasa is for our youngest son, who's on the autistic spectrum. So,
okay.
They're well worth the price that we had to pay, not so much financially, but just having extra.
Time wise and
yeah.
extra responsibilities. Yeah.
Yeah. In the house.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, we readopted a dog as well. We have one that's that was a rescue, so yeah, we're kind of in the same boat as well with you guys. All right, so let's start off and go back to the beginning and ask you when football started for you. When did you start playing football?
When did I start playing?
Yes.
Well, I started in the backyard, streets. We used to play a lot of street ball. That's where it all started in the neighborhood. That's when we had neighborhoods that kids got out in the street and played every weekend.
But, when it was safe to play outside. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where it all started. And my parents would allow me to play in organized sports until around basketball.
Oh, really?
Fifth grade or so. And football, I think I started in sixth grade. So.
Yeah.
So that was kind of when it started. Everything started from an organizational standpoint. Started the YMCA in my hometown, Thomasville.
Yeah.
And so that's where we learn how to play, and we're grateful to have coaches that, you know, taught us the game and gave us an avenue to be able to showcase our talent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. So, yeah, so you didn't start organized till around fifth grade. So, obviously, being a great athlete, I'm sure you played many sports growing up. So, when did you start playing like basketball and baseball, and did you play anything else besides those sports as well?
No, I played Little League baseball. That started a little bit earlier, I think around maybe fifth grade. All started around fifth grade or so.
Okay.
Little League baseball and basketball, the same thing. And it was all run through the YMCA. That was the organization that we had during our time. We didn't have Boys and Girls Club and all those other avenues of organizational sports that they have today. So that's what we did. And, you know, all the guys that grew up with, whether it was elementary or high school, we, you know, just part of what we did. So,
yeah. All right, cool. So let's talk about your high school career and how sports went for you there. Obviously, you were a great football player and basketball player. So talk about your development in your sports and in the high school level.
As I mentioned, you know, I grew up playing sports with a lot of my friends, and we had two high schools in our city. One was the county, one was the city school, and I actually went to the city school early on, elementary and part of middle school. Then I changed over to the county middle school. And that's who I was raised with. And so the high school days were very promising in the sense that I had to fight through some adversity. I had a knee injury that I sustained my freshman year, last game in basketball. And I had some knee injuries, the same knee hindered me from playing the full basketball season my sophomore year. And so those were challenging, but from a football standpoint, I was able to compete. And I got a whole story in my book called The Athlete, talking about, you know, my journey to being a starting quarterback. It was kind of eventful in the house, you know, my dad being a coach and my mom not knowing that I was going to be playing because I was supposed to be injured and not playing.
Oh, really?
And so she found out when she came to the game. And so that was a very interesting time. But nonetheless,
guessing that didn't go over too well.
I'm sure, you know, it passed. He was able to pass. so it was, but that was the first beginning of me getting an opportunity to play quarterback in high school. And, I was grateful and happy because I was able to help our team win that game as a sophomore. And so from that point on, I was, you know, became a starter. And we did quite well during my time. We never won a state championship, but we came close. We were in the Final Four of the 2 years in a row, lost to the same team. Both years by 7 points. So,
close game.
But it was good, great experience, and grateful to have the opportunity to get that type of experience because it helped me long term.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. That in Florida is a great competition. A lot of great athletes and great players there. So to be able to play, you know, high school at that level is definitely great and great for your development and great to. In helping you to get to the next level, which you obviously got to. So, before we go on to the next question, I wanted to have another. The next question is, obviously, you're a great athlete. Like I said, was there a sport that was your favorite growing up? Did you have one that you were favorite at, and did you kind of feel you could make it to professionally at that sport?
As the first part again.
Oh, so was there a? Did you have a favorite sport growing up? So I know you played many sports. Was one of them your favorite sport? Was basketball or football or baseball? Was any of those your favorite?
No, I didn't have a favorite. I enjoyed playing all sports. You know, we made up sports in the neighborhood, and so if they
made up sports,
I mean, we just made up things to do if we didn't have if we didn't have anything. You know, organized. So we, it was a great blessing because, you know, all I wanted to do was be an athlete because that's what I enjoyed doing. And so when I had the opportunity to play multiple sports, I did. And so I enjoyed it. It wasn't anything that was something people had to make me do because I just enjoyed it, and that's the reason why I chose to play multiple sports in college, because I enjoyed it. The challenge for me was just from an academic standpoint, making sure that I was staying focused to get my grades and things I needed to be able to play the sport that I enjoyed. And so I was grateful that God had blessed me with talent, and you know, I was able to, not perfect, but I was able to have success in one sport and the other sport, you know, with having natural ability. I was able to make my way and find my way through, you know, how I can have an impact on the game. And, you know, having great teammates always is a great blessing. And so I was afforded that as well.
Yeah.
And all the sports that I competed in, you know, having great, having great athletes and teammates is always a key to the success of not just an individual, but to a team. So, but just my whole thing was I just enjoyed playing multiple sports. I didn't really have a favorite.
Okay. All right. And did you think, did you think that you were going to make it to the professional level? Is that a goal that you had as a young kid, or is it just something that ended up happening for you?
I mean, that's everyone's goal as a young kid is to make it professional because most people who are athletic, you know, they're watching those games. Watching those games, you know, on television. And it was no different for me. And so I would go out after football games or basketball games and, you know, you have your favorite jerseys, Tony Dorsett and Franco Harris and you know, Roger Staubach, you know, you get those jerseys for Christmas and you had the shoulder pads and, you know, all those different things that you got for Christmas and you would go out in the backyard and, you know, play with your friends or even in basketball, you know, after games, you'll go out and be Andrew Tony or Dr. J, you know, those guys, you know, in the backyard and, you know, simulate last shot. Make, you know, the countdown and you're shooting the last
the countdown,
shot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all those things are what I grew up watching. So when the opportunity presented itself to go to Florida State, I never thought that you know, I would be going to play professional basketball as a career. But I enjoyed my college experience. And when the chance came, my senior year, I put myself in a position to be able to be drafted in football and basketball through the help of, you know, coaches and actually professors and academic advisors to be able to give me an opportunity to graduate and realize my goals and dreams of playing a sport. I was 40, you know, I was blessed to be able to have two options as far as professional opportunities. So that was something that, you know, growing up, we all have goals, we all have dreams. It was definitely a dream. And my dream was about to come true. And, you know, I wanted to make sure that I took advantage of it. And all the life lessons that I learned from my coaches, my parents instilled in me, you know, I just wanted to make sure I took advantage of it. And, you know, every day I went out and worked and put myself in a position to have an option. I have options and worked to make sure that while I was there, I was enjoying the experience and was going to take advantage of it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you obviously definitely did and had a great NBA career, and we'll get into that in a second. But before I get to that, I just wanted to ask you about the recruiting process to Florida State. And obviously, you went to Florida State and chose them over other schools. I'm guessing you were recruited by many schools out of high school. So talk about your reasoning for choosing Florida State over other schools.
Well, it really came down to three schools, Georgia Tech and Georgia. It really came down to two. Georgia Tech, my best friend from Thomasville, he chose to go to Georgia Tech, and he was a quarterback. That option was out. But Georgia was in the mix. Auburn recruited me all up until the last minute, and then they chose to stop recruiting me. And so, you know, with Florida State and Georgia, I really chose Coach Bowden because he had allowed Brad Johnson to play basketball and football. So he had history on this side allowing guys to play multiple sports. And so I chose Coach Bowden and Florida State because it was a little bit closer as well. And, you know, a lot of my family and friends would have an opportunity to come watch me play. So I was grateful for, you know, the opportunity to play, you know, close to home. And Florida State was, you know, up and coming in a sense because I used to watch them. I watched them a lot on television and watched the Bobby Bowden show. Then Joe Williams, who was the basketball coach at the time, he had a show after his games. And so, you know, that's what we kind of raised on. And for the opportunity to be able to go there, was a great blessing.
Yeah, and obviously things definitely worked out for the best for you there. You had a great career at Florida State, and like I mentioned at the beginning, you led them to their first ever national championship and won the Heisman Trophy. So talk about that Heisman year and that experience of winning the Heisman and how you felt sitting in that seat before they called out your name and said that you're the 93 Heisman Trophy winner. Obviously, I believe you were the third highest winning percentage for the Heisman winner. So you won by the third greatest margin. So that's kind of a known commodity that you were going to win. But still talk about that experience for you.
It was a great experience. You know, more so, I mean, for all of us, but more so for my family, my siblings and my mom and dad, they got an opportunity to come up and experience New York. And, you know, for me to have an opportunity to join the Heisman Club was a great blessing. Something that, you know, all little kids dream of one day. But to be in that seat and just have the opportunity was a great blessing. And to win it, you know, it definitely was life-changing in a lot of respects for the positive. And so... Yeah. You know, a lot more came your way when it came to, you know, media availability, notoriety, not just in your area, but, you know, nationwide.
Nationwide.
National.
Yeah.
And so everyone, you know, can relate to, you know, the Heisman. I know what that is. And so, you know, a lot of things changed that night, except for, you know, the way I approach life and those things kind of remain the same. But, you know, it was just awesome experience to be in New York for the first time and kind of see what New York life is about. And, you know, it was one of those deals that, you know, when I left, I said I never would ever come back to New York, or I could never live in New York.
And, oh, really?
Yeah. And God opened the door for a career there. And so I was there for 9.5 years, and, you know, I enjoyed every minute of it, you know, because of just the city and the hustle and bustle and all things it had to offer. And so I found my way, you know, being from Thomasville, a smaller town, and, you know, New York is definitely different. And so I found my way through and had a lot of people help me navigate early on in my career as I continued to mature. Of course, I got married second year, so that kind of helped as well. But, you know, it was just, you know, a great, great, great time, you know, in New York. But winning the Heisman and bringing the first one to FSU was great, a blessing as well. And also being the first quarterback to help lead the Seminoles, which, you know, we had multiple opportunities, but we would always lose one game. And it was normally to Miami. And so our year was the year that God wanted to bless Coach Bowden and our university with the first national championship, because we did lose that year to Notre Dame, but we're afforded the opportunity to be able to get back with the Notre Dame loss to Boston College. But the week after, we lost to Notre Dame. So it was, you know, just a great season, you know, all the way around. And, some great teammates, great coaches, and to be able to celebrate for the national championship, that's what you dream of. It's what your goals are at the beginning of the year, and we were able to achieve that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an amazing year and an amazing season for you and for the team as well. Great accomplishment for the program, and kind of skyrocketed them into what they became, which was a great program for many, many years. All right, so after that season, obviously you were eligible for the NFL draft and didn't get drafted. So we'll talk about that, and if you're surprised, disappointed, we'll just talk about your decision to go with basketball instead of football.
Well, I wasn't surprised. I wasn't disappointed. Because that was answer to prayer. God closed the door on the NFL, and, you know, I didn't help myself when I didn't fully commit to the NFL, you know, right out the gate by choosing to go and prepare for the combine and then go to the actual combine. I chose to continue to play basketball as a senior point guard for Florida State, and that was my choice because I wanted to have options professionally, and I'm grateful that, you know, I was able to do it. And I was also a senior guard, you know, senior leadership and those types of things. So so that was part of, you know, part of my reasoning and my choice to continue to open my options up professionally. And that was the main one of them. Any reasons why I didn't get selected in the NFL draft. There were probably some teams that were interested, but they heard that I wasn't 100% committed, which I wasn't, because they told me that I would be the third or fourth round draft pick coming out. And, you know, if I would have gone full bore, somebody may have chosen me first round in football, but I might have been a third or fourth round draft pick. During that time, you know, size and a lot of different factors mattered because they weren't running the spread type offense, or there was a certain type of offense and size that you had to be to play in that, in the pro style, what they call pro style offense. And so, you know, it's just a lot of different factors. But, you know, I really, after basketball season, I did a little bit for the NFL pro day on campus. But most of my time was spent trying to develop my basketball skill levels, skill development in basketball, as I prepare for the NBA combines. And so that was the challenge that I gave myself, that I wanted to be prepared for the NBA draft, and also the combines, and give myself a good opportunity just so I can have an option if things didn't work out in the NFL, which I knew it wasn't going to happen. Just basically because I went 100% committed, and no one's going to take a chance on me early on anyway, to come to taking a draft pick on someone that may not come. However, you know, in this day and age, in baseball, Kyler Murray, they took him high first round in baseball, and he chose to play football. So,
yeah,
you know, whatever people want to do, but they didn't choose to do it. And, you know, I'm grateful that now, looking back 25, 26 years later, you know, God worked everything out.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely did. And he I guess made the decision easy for you and clear for you to when you didn't get selected in the NFL draft. But yeah, I guess looking back, like you said, if it were happened today, I'm pretty sure that things would have been different. And yeah, with the examples of guys like Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson out there, that somebody probably would have taken a chance on you in the first round, despite your interest in basketball as well.
Yes, but I'm happy for these guys who are today. You know, that's what life is about progression. And, of course, you know, the world has progressed a lot since my time coming out of college. And, but it's all good. You know, guys like Lamar, even though he has good size, but he wasn't the prototype quarterback, quote unquote, coming out of college. But he's proven people are wrong, that they can find a way to make him effective. And he throws the ball. He's learned to read and throw the ball really well. And he's using his leg to be able to help him out as well. So I do believe, you know, he'll continue to progress as a quarterback. And as he continues to mature and get a little bit older, he'll find different ways to, you know, to improve his game, in the sense of, you know, still using his legs, but also maturing as a pocket passer. And you know, right now he's very hot, second year. So I'm just happy for him. And Kyler and Baker, those guys in the same boat, you know, they're very talented, smaller stature. But, you know, Russell Wilson and Drew Brees, they've kind of open that door for the smaller quarterbacks to, you know, have some success as well. And, you know, when it's all said and done, that's kind of what people need to see. You know, just one or two people that has, you know, the same makeup as a quarterback, and they give them opportunities. So, you know, that's the way life is. And sometimes people just need to see an example.
Exactly. So like you said, you had another possible option coming out of college as well, that you know, that you were drafted in the Major League Baseball, and drafted a couple times by baseball teams. So talk about that a little bit, and if that was kind of an option for you as well, or is it something that you just didn't really pay any attention to?
That was plan C. So, you know, it was great to be able to have that option. But I also got drafted in the CFL Actually, when they did a tryout with them, I forgot who it was, but you know, it was a good. Good experience, getting an opportunity to see what the CFL was like, and baseball. I hadn't played baseball since high school, and that was 1 year. So
yeah,
they were basically drafting me off of, you know, talent, being able to play multiple sports, and they just wanted to be able to have my right to, if I chose to play baseball. And so it was an option, but it was long-term option.
Okay. And yeah, you mentioned CFL, and I played up here in the CFL as well, and I'm sure teams would have been drooling to have you come and play up here for sure, because I know you would have been a great player up here and done amazing things if you did choose to come up here. So you said you had the one tryout. Was that something that you thought of seriously, or is it just something you just went to try and didn't really?
Yeah, I went and tried out just to see. They asked me to come to do it, and you know, it was just something I wanted to at least look at, but yeah, it was nothing serious.
Okay, yeah, it would have been great to see you up here, and I know you've been an amazing player, obviously, up here, and done some great things for sure if you did come up here and play.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about your pro career. You end up choosing basketball and played 11 years in the NBA, and you briefly talked about your time in New York, heading back to New York, which you weren't expecting to do as a young kid out of college, going to the Heisman. But talk about your NBA career and how that went for you.
Well, it was good. I had to learn a lot, fight through some immaturity and adversity throughout my career in New York, whether it was not playing my first year and a half, but continue to work to try to develop the skill so that I could be competitive and have an opportunity to play, you know, be in a rotation, to, you know, supporting, you know, being in the community, doing community work in New York, you know, hosting basketball camps, what my wife and I did for about 11 years for boys and girls around the country. And so, you know, just all the different factors, understanding business and, you know, preparing for, you know, after basketball, and all those things were, you know, a great blessing, you know, and getting an opportunity to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. And also winning it, and going to the NBA Finals, you know, that was something that, you know, as a NBA player, you at least want to have a chance to win a NBA Finals, a championship. And so
yeah,
we were, I was afforded to be on one of those teams in New York, and, you know, like I said, there were a lot of challenges we had to go through at some point in time, but it's just like anyone's journey. You know, it's going to be adversity that you have to fight through, and it taught me a lot, you know, about perseverance and being patient, and then, you know, how to prepare, you know, how to prepare to be successful, you know, long term. And I learned a lot from Herb Williams, Derek Harper, Buck Williams. You know, those are some of my veterans that taught me, you know, the ropes of how to be a professional, be a family man, and all those different things. And so I learned a lot from them, and I was able to hopefully pass some of that on as I matured as a veteran, as well to some of the younger players that came through. But
yeah,
you know, it was a great experience to be able to, you know, help my family, you know, achieve some of their goals in life from a financial standpoint, whether it was education, whether it was, you know, preparing for a new house or whatever the case they, you know, they needed. And so that was a great avenue for us to be able to support a lot of different people that I'm grateful for, you know, the NBA and the experience that I had for 11 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it must have been amazing to be able to live out a dream and be able to play professionally and to have the options to be able to do it in different sports was just an amazing an amazing athlete that you are. And I just want to talk about now life after pro sports and what you're doing now. You're doing so many things. Not sure if you have time to get through everything, but you're coaching basketball. You have the Charlie's Chalk Talk and Charlie's Talk with Chalk Talk with Charlie on Fox 49. So talk about how you transitioned to life after pro sports and how you started to do these things.
Well, I was grateful that I had an opportunity to coach with Coach Jeff Van Gundy in Houston. After I retired, I really didn't have an idea of what I wanted to do next. And he gave me an opportunity to do an internship with the Houston Rockets when he was there. And then I coached a year on the bench or behind the bench or on the staff. And then I got into high school coaching. And I went from coaching basketball to coaching football, which was a big transition for me because I hadn't
big change.
I hadn't been done anything for football for like 13 years aside to watch it on television, and so there are a lot of things that I lost from memory. And so I ended up calling a lot of my college coaches, and just learned on the fly, because I became a head coach at a Christian school in Houston, Westbury Christian. And I was there for about 5.5 years or so. And then we ended up moving to Pensacola. I stayed in football because I put all my time and energy just to get back into the swing of it.
To learn to back into it.
Yeah. And I didn't want to give that up because I learned a lot. I had made a lot of connections in the football arena. And so I stayed with it for 4 years. Now my record is horrible because a lot of programs that I took over were dying programs in a sense. And so I had to go in and try to resurrect them. And it took some time to just get it to a point where it's respectable and people respected, you know, the football program. And God moved me to, you know, a different school after I left Pensacola, Booker T. Washington. And now I'm currently coaching at Florida High, Florida State University School. I was a charter school of FSU here in Tallahassee. Actually got back into basketball, some head boys basketball coach. And we had a pretty good run last year. We made the regional finals. And this year, you know, we're off to a good start. I think we're like 5-0. So we're progressing. Got some young talent, guys that are not coachable. And I have some great support as well, you know, from administration, my wife, kids and the parents. You know, everyone is, you know, buying into what we're trying to get accomplished, and the same results when you have great support. So hopefully we can continue to move on and progress to win a championship, but nonetheless, you know, it's about the journey. And while you're on the journey, you want to make sure that you're getting everyone prepared for, you know, life. And so that's what we do. We coach them up. We coach them through mistakes. We coach them through successes. And it's all about preparation for, you know, what God has in store for you, a learning experience. And so, I'm enjoying that part of it. And also, you know, we have a foundation, the Charlie Ward Family Foundation, where we have multiple arms. You know, my daughter, she does what she calls holiday notes, where she goes around with some of her classmates or friends, and they have inspirational music selections for assisted living They went to the VA hospital here in Tallahassee during the holidays. And so that's what she does, and that's what some of the money that we raise for our foundation, and we also support hurricane relief and youth organizations, you know, whether it's the YMCA, the Boys and Girls Club, or any other youth organization. We support them now. We used to have basketball camps, but now we're the supporters, one of the supporters for those, you know, organizations. And of course, as you mentioned, do Chalk Talk with Charlie. There was a segment of, mainly we've been talking about Florida State and the football program, and having guests. You know, we've had some football operational directors on this past week. We have Coach Lonnie Alameda, who's the ladies softball coach here at Florida State. She was for the opportunity to win a championship last year or the year before. And so she's building a great program, and so we talk about FSU basketball, and then we have just segments where we do a promo of an alumnus, Florida State alumnus, and we're partnered with the Florida State Alumni Association as well to just feature some of our alumnus who are doing great things in the community. Or just doing great things in general. So we have a lot going on. My wife is a part of this whole family foundation. She kind of runs it. And so she's very good at it, and keeps us all, you know, moving in the right direction. And I'm grateful for.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome that you're giving back and doing some great things with your foundation and helping the community and using all your experiences and resources to make a difference in your community. So that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
And you also no problem. And you're also doing the Charlie's Chalk Talk, where I guess you do motivational speeches around the country. Is that something you do as well?
Yes, I do motivational speaking. And it's just an extension of what we do with our different segments each, every 2 weeks here with the television. I do speaking engagements and about, you know, FCA or businesses. You know, I've done a lot of different speaking engagements. This just personal talks to be able to help people understand my life journey and how that it can apply to, you know, just your everyday life, you know, because everyone has to be prepared to be, you know, do whatever it is that they're doing. And at some point in time, you're going to have adversity, and you got to persevere through it to give yourself an opportunity to reach your goals. And sometimes you just have to wait, be patient. You know, a lot of times we, in our society today, we want everything right now. And sometimes it's just not going to happen right now. We have to wait. But when it's all said and done, you know, with those three P's, it's called, you know, it's a process. So everyone has a process, and we have to, you know, go according to what God has called us to do and live that way. And, you know, but we got to have the characteristics of being prepared, you know, persevering and being patient.
Yeah, definitely. Good words to live by, for sure. So I usually finish off by what I call a top of the mountain moment. So kind of looking back on your journey, usually football journey, but I guess for you it could be a sports journey and all the things you've gone through and the highs and lows, the good and the bad, the great stories that you've had, the great experiences. Is there a favorite moment, a favorite play, words of wisdom for younger kids? You obviously gave some as well, but how would you like to finish things off here?
I mean, if you're asking for a great play, or a moment?
Just kind of like is there a favorite play or is there a favorite moment or and also some words of wisdom for younger players looking to make it to the next level.
I just gave you the three P's. Preparation, you know, perseverance, and being patient. And those are very inspirational. I mean, you know, those are words of wisdom to be able to help you understand just they all apply to life in general. And so at some point in time, it's going to happen. You know, you're going to need to have those three P's and be prepared to, you know, use them to be successful if that's what you wanted to have. And, you know, the highs, you know, of me, I mean, the lows of me having thrown 10 interceptions in three games my junior year to the next year, you know, winning a Heisman Trophy. So everything in between, you know, sometimes, you know, you're going to start off slow. Some people start off fast and tail off at the end because they had great success. Yeah. Some start off slow and, you know, persevere through the tough times and, you know, they end up well. And so regardless of which way or whichever way you start, you still have to sustain and maintain through the process, but you also have to learn. And that's one of the things that I'm teaching our kids today at Florida High. My basketball program is, you know, right now we start off hot, but we still have a lot to learn. We haven't lost a game yet, but at some point in time, we're going to get challenged, and we prepare them for that. But it's not until we experience the difficulties is when we will see, you know, if they're going to rise to the occasions. But each and every day, we're coaching them up. We're getting them prepared for the rough times because it's going to be rough at some point. But we're preparing them for that, even through winning. So just great life lessons for these kids to be able to, you know, experience what it's like to have great success, but understand where you came from. Before we got here, you know, they were the program that won like 5 games in like 3 years or something. It was a crazy number, 8 games in 3 years before we got here. And so for them to be able to experience what they've experienced the last 2 years, you know, it's been a great feat for them to see when our community and when kids buy in and come together. You know, a lot of things can be achieved. But while we're in this process of winning now, we have to make sure that we're still paying attention to details to the things that can get us beat. So taking care of your academics and also, you know, doing the right thing. You know, when you don't do the right things, there's consequences. When you do, there are consequences. And so, you know, we're just trying to teach them life lessons while they're playing basketball.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, doing the right things and remembering your three P's. Yeah, definitely some good words to live by and some good things to take out of this this interview for sure. So, Charlie, just want to say thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure. It's been an awesome interview. A great time talking with you, chatting with you, and learning about your story. And if you want to follow Charlie, you can follow him at Real Charlie Ward on Twitter and on Facebook at Charlie Ward Official, and on Instagram at Charlie Ward Official as well. So Charlie, thank you very much. And you also have your foundation that you mentioned, your foundation. Do you have a website for that as well?
It's charlieward.org. You can go on and and everything, all the information's on there.
We'll be there. Okay, great. All right, so I'll have all these on in the show notes as well for people so they can find you there as well. So Charlie, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure and appreciate your time.
All right, thank you.
All right, Charlie, take care.
Thank you for listening to After the Gridiron. If you're a fan of the show, please make sure you subscribe to the show and also leave a rating and review. By doing that, you also help to spread the word about the podcast and assist others in finding the show so more people can enjoy this great content. can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, with the links to those being found on the website. Your support is very much appreciated. Also, please visit the resources page on the website for links to our sponsors and affiliates. Your support helps to keep the show running. So go to www.atgridiron.com/resources to check them out. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you when we kick off our next episode.